Good morning. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4, 1 to 9. Okay, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teachings. Do not abandon my instructions. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my word. Keep commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the word of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get wisdom. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place you on a head, a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. I'm just continue on the books of Proverbs. So I've been trying to do EMP, you know, with Proverbs section by sections, you know, to go deeper in the word of this wisdom writing in the Bible. And if you go back to, you know, if you look at the beginning of the Proverbs, actually the last three chapters that we've been looking at, you probably find that, you know, this particular passage sounds like repeating itself a lot from the previous. It sounds like another recap of how important wisdom is. And it's, there are, you know, familiar faces that you can see, you know, in Proverbs 1:8, that where, you know, you talk about the take hold of the wisdom and the word, like, you know, putting wisdom, you know, when you chase after cherished wisdom and you exalt it, embrace it, and honor you, you have a garland of grace on your head. Like, those are the verses you probably have seen in the previous chapters. And it's sort of recapping on, you know, how important it is. And I think the special part about, you know, Proverbs 4, verse 1 to 9, which is quite different from the previous three chapters that we look at, is that it talk about this element of generation, teaching through generations. And here you see three generations are being mentioned. It's like, oh, son, the instruction of our father, that he is giving instruction to his son. And he said, and for I give you sound teaching, do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to a father, a young, a tender, and the only son in the sight of my mother, that he taught me and said to me. And here it seems to be that, you know, the grandfather passed on the teaching of God. Here's the wisdom is not referring to, you know, the knowledge that you learn from your experience. He is talking about God's way, talking about the teaching from God or the teaching about God. And it's talking about that, that you, from your grandfather, that he taught the father, and from what he learned, and he hold it and carry on and teach the son. And he's teaching with such a convictions that it's so important, because he went through life himself. He experienced that what been taught is truth. And as a result, he had come to an age as a father, he hold tight to the teaching, and he want to pass on these teachings to the son. And here, I want to highlight to you verse 5 and verse 7. Yeah, when the grandfather's, like, grandfather was talking, like, was teaching to the father in that sense, that when he taught me, he said to me, acquire wisdom, a repeated word of acquire, like, get wisdom, go and get it, and you need to get hold of it. It's not just take it, learning in as a head knowledge, but you need to embrace it. And verse 7 is the instruction from a father to a son, the next generation. And again, it say that with all your acquiring, and other translation that is in NIV is like, with every, though it costs all of you, or everything that you have, it say that no matter how, you know, much you have to lay down, get wisdom. It costs you everything. You still have to get wisdom, because this is important to your life. And it's emphasizing you price prized wisdom and exalted it. And as a result, you reap the benefit from it. And so you see this, you know, a generation of teaching or passing on of wisdom is very important. And I was reading some books and I come to this story about this guy called James Dobson. Apparently, he's very famous in the U.S. the Christian circle, and he carries like worldwide ministry. He's a psychologist, and he has a father that who is very famous. He's a famous evangelist at the time. Apparently, his father was so famous that for his ministry, he is booked it 3 years in advance. So imagine, so like seasoned speaker coming over that we say for a retreat, we need to book 3 years in advance to get a speaker coming in. And this is how famous his father is and the father often not at home a lot of time. And he grew up in a Christian family. James grew up in a Christian family, obviously. But then the father was like so busy in his ministry that he hardly at home. And then so one day the wife actually gives the father a warning. It's like, if you give this carry on, you're going to lose your son. Because, James, like in his teenagers, adolescent time, 15, he was become very rebellious and all this. And the father decided to drop everything and come back and become a pastor in a small church in the area they live in a rural area, and spend a lot of time raising the kids. And you know, in this particular Proverb 4, it's so important that you teach your child at a young age, before it's too late. But in this particular story, thank God it's not too late. And so the father was able to spend time to teach his own son and all this. And later on, James became a very famous psychologist, and also he have worldwide ministry, minister to a lot of people. And his father passed away. And after a few years that, his father passed away, his aunt actually told him about this story that's, he didn't even know about her father. It's apparently that before his father died, the father actually heard from God and say that you have been a faithful servant and you're willing to lay down your ambitions for me. I'm going to bless your son so that your son will be able to serve, the world, in a greater, capacity. And before the father died, he actually prayed for 3 days for the son to have this promise to come through in his life. So when James heard about this story, he knew that, whatever success that he has is really not because of his own doing, but really is because the father willing to lay down his life and come and teach the son so that he are being blessed through this ministry and become a man of God. And so it is here being emphasized in Proverbs 4 that it is so important that at a very young age you start teaching the ways of God, start teaching them the understanding and help, help them to, have the proper view or proper understanding or proper value in terms of what is the most important. And here is teaching the next generation is one of the major thing that is put in the agenda of God, that children is very important. Throughout, the Testament, Old Testament and New Testament, we know that passing on, like teaching the next generation is very important. It go to affect them and not just your own son, but it will benefit the generation down. And if you guys remember, we have a Passover meal during last Easter. We have a Passover meal being demonstrated to us. And it is, in fact, a Christian culture or Jewish cultures that have been passed on generations. And what's the Passover meal it does is, if you remember, for those who have not attended, basically it's a family reenacting what happened when the Israelites, before they left from the land of oppression from Egypt and go on to the land of, escape from slavery, and where God saved them. And so the Passover meal is eating bitter herbs to taste the bitterness, to remind them the bitterness that they, or the slavery or suffering they have when they are being oppressed by the Egyptians. And the whole thing that, you know, Passover lamb, that the life of being saved, and they celebrate that, you know, they are in a land of promise. And this Passover meal is not just once a year celebration, but it's actually a traditional being written in the Bible that you actually teach your sons and daughters, teach your children. You reenacted this whole meal year by year to reinforce these ideas, to teach them that, you know, how God has been faithful to them, and teach them that to be, you know, be appreciative what God is have been blessing through generation, not to forget about your root. And this is the things that, you know, is a reinforcement, teaching year after year how faithful God is. And if I can ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 18, 17 to 19. You know, this idea of teaching is it's been embedded very beginning, even in the book of Genesis, where that God is telling Abraham that, shall I hide from Abraham at what I'm about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all nations of the earth will be blessed, for I have chosen him, in order that he may command his children and his household after he have kept the way of God by doing righteous and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Here, with what he's spoken about him is that he's going to the fathers of nations, and all his descendants will be blessed. And here, you can break it down into a few things that talking about for blessing to come through that generations, for blessing to come through Abraham. It say that he have to teach and train his children in the ways of God. And the truth, so for the promise of God to come through to the next generation and the generation down, here is talk about that Abraham have to teach and train his children in the ways of God. It's the same thing that's being echoed in Prophet 4, like teach your next generations. And you know that, you know, children are being bombarded, you know, not children, but even us, not just children, but children is more gullible, or they are more open or receptive, or whatever you're going to teach them. And it's so important that you teach them at a very young age. I know about this. You guys probably heard about, you know, like those syndrome, like princess or prince syndrome, like where child, like, you know, been overly indulged, and they don't even know how to take care of themselves. You know, I saw a documentary about those one that I saw on TV, that kids, like a child of, you know, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, even 6-year-old, could not even tie their shoelace, cannot do anything because they have helper helping them to do all this work. So they're like a little master at home. This is a particular situation in Hong Kong. A lot of family, parents go to work, and so the main taker of the child, or the main educator of the child, is actually the helpers. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's just that sometimes, you know, you want to pass on your values, and because they're not old enough to make their own decisions and things, right? But yet they are still the little master in the house. And so, you know, many ways that, you know, children are being overprotected, overindulged, that they were not able to, you know, do the basic thing in life, and cause a whole heaps of problems. And this is what I see in documentary. But I think this time when I went back to Australia, I spent a month time over with my family and my sisters and brothers, and they all have, you know, kids, and I see, you know, and also talk to uncles and all this, like, about raising kids. I don't know, this is good topic to talk about, I guess, when you talk to uncle and aunties, right? And it was seeing, like, you know, I'm not like bragging, but I was seeing how my sister teach my the child was 2 years old, like less than 2 years old, and he has his little toy corner, because the house in Australia is so much bigger that he has like his own little private kitchen, like toy kitchen. He has toys every week, and so books and everywhere, and so huge corner of toys. And every time when he play toys, you know, immediately he could probably, you know, after they play toys, they probably walk away and all this. But if you tell him, you know, you need to put the toys in place, and he will be just little less than 2 years old, would go to his little corner and put the toys where it's supposed to be. I was super impressed that, you know, kids, like, obviously, like, they're so smart, but then yet they listen to instruction and they do it well. And when I came back to Hong Kong, I have another friend. She has a 5 years old. And this little incident, I have Yum Cha with them. And before we have Yum Cha, we have to pick her up from the school bus. And she come down, 5 years old, is like quite tall already, quite heavy already. And when, as soon as she get off the bus, she just cling on to the auntie. She was like over 60 years old, the grandmom. And refused to stand on the ground and ask the little, like, tiny grandma over, like, 60, 70s, like, holding the kids, like, quite heavy. And I was like, what's going on? And then we went Yum Cha, we have to go up to the stairs, like, at least, I think, 20 steps. And I was looking at them, I was like, no way to carry the kids all the way up. And so, but the kids refused to come down and wouldn't go anywhere if, like, just we refused to be, like, listen to any commandment or, like, you know, instructions. So I just, like, offered myself to carry the kids all the way up. And she refused, like, to go to the table that we've been given to by the waiter. She just cling on to you that until you place her on the table, like carry her all the way through. And that's a bit of exercise. But it's not only that, it's when we sit at the table, the little princess, literally, I tell you, it's a princess. She was just sitting there and she know how to use chopsticks. She know how to eat and all this, but she refused to eat unless you put in her mouth. And I was like, what is going on? Like, 5 years old can't even take care of themselves. And the thing is that you have this battle of will, right? That you want them to eat, so you feed them. And so you lost any authority over the child because she know that she can, you know, get away with things. And I was like looking at the, you know, the little 2 years old nephew and this kid's like 5 years old and still, you know, texting on the grandparents and all this. And it was shocking. And during the, you know, the meal time, I was telling the grandma, I was like, don't feed her, just let her eat herself. If she doesn't eat, just let her try. But it's difficult because the child has been grew up, like, you know, from child to now 5 years old. They know they can get away with things and things already set in their mind. And it's difficult to change. Can it be changed? Probably, but it's a lot of effort. And so as I go deeper in the story, I know that both parents work until very late, 8 o'clock, Monday to Fridays. And so the time they spend with the kids is very little. For them to be able to actually to teach a child, the time is so limited. And I can see that, you know, the time that you invest in your child from a very young age is so important before it becomes too late. And so, you know, this is like something that, you know, I just like, this is my heart that, you know, although, you know, most of you guys are not, you know, parents, but this is something to bear in mind that, you know, when it comes to teaching a child to start early age. And also coming from this particular passage, we talk about, you know, you have to teach your child from a generation down. And the other thing that I want also reminded about is a generational blessing and cursing. That's one of generational blessing and cursing that is another topic, not directly related to this particular passage, but kind of like from this passage reminded me that there's another word somewhere in the book of Exodus. It talk about that. Let me read it out for you instead you go to the book. It first in the book chapter 20, where God actually give the 10 commandments. And then at verse 5, after he gave the commandment, he said that, I'm a jealous God. Visit the inequity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And on verse 6, he says, but showing mercy to thousands of those love me and keep my commandment. And a lot of people look at, you know, look at this particular verse. It's talk about that, you know, equity sin actually passed on to generation, to three to fourth generation, third and fourth generation. Blessing come thousands, like come through your generations. So it's so important, like, you know, even today to us, that we bless our children, or our, not just the, you know, biological children that we're going to have, but the children that perhaps in our church, or the children that come in our family. That's so important that you bless your children. And you talk about that blessing will continue, like the love of God, the blessing of God will continue for a generation down. But if you sin, and this sin will pass on generations. And one of the classic example that is being shown in, like, about sin being passed on to generation, it's not that because your father sinned, so you sin, but it's this tendency. It's almost like genetic coding, that we have this sort of genes, that tendency affecting our behavior. One of the classic example is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Abraham, you know, that he's a man chosen by God to be the father of nation, but he's not totally sin-free. During one time, he actually lies to a king about the Sarah being his sister. Sarah is his wife, but then he was worried that because Sarah is so beautiful that if the king see the beautiful wife, he will murder him and take her away. So instead of saying that I'm the husband, he actually say, this is my sister. And this is like what Abraham did. And then turn to Isaac, exactly the same thing happened. You know, Isaac also lied about Rebecca, the wife, and saying, this is not my wife, but this is my sister, to try to, you know, avoid any harm because of the beautiful wife they have. And you see that two generations have this tendency of lying. And then the third generation they have is Jacob. And Jacob, the word literally is liars. So he like tells so much lies, like, you know, all through his life. He when Isaac was like nearly at deathbed, he cannot see anything, and he lied to have this scheme with the mom, to pretend he is the elder son. And get the blessing for the elder son from, like, cheat the elder sons with the blessing that he has by pretending to be his son, be the elder son, and Esau. And later on, like, many lies that he talked, you know, in the Bible. So he's the father of lies, almost. And this is, like, what written in the Bible, that, like, these sort of things, like, this sort of tendency continue. And if you read, you know, there have been actually studies, even like talk about sexual sin and also alcoholisms, that there have been studies showing that this sort of tendency towards this sort of attraction or temptation is so much stronger if it has been a issue faced by your, you know, your grandfather or father. And they have a studies for alcoholisms where that, you know, for a group of children that been adopted to a normal family, but their father have alcoholic issues, or mothers have alcoholic issues. And their study showed that 70% of them, even though they've been taken away from the environment, put them into a good environment that whose parents are do not have that tendency, they would 70% of them would still turn out to suffer from alcoholism, like this sort of issues. And it seems that, you know, this sort of tendency or ban in the family, so transfer down, that you have this issue, you cannot transfer down to your generation. And here the Bible indicated, you know, it could be like this iniquity passed on to three to four generations. And so it is important to break those curses. Can you break? Yes. We have Cascade, we have other, you know, in the healing deliverance ministry that do actually break the, you know, generation curses. And sometimes, you know, it's a one-go thing. You renounce it, it's gone. But sometimes it might take a few more sessions to go through and to review the underlying cause that causing you to the particular scene and stuff. But definitely that is, we see that, you know, with the curses that in that come down through the generation, it's breakable. But But the thing is that we first have to be aware of it, and then, you know, to go through the process to have it break off your from you and your family generation down. And also the same way that I'm talking about, you're blessed over your children, you pray over your children, you're teaching them the God way, and so a lot of time it's more than spoken word. It's your behavior and your action matches with what you preach and what you speak. And you know, so, you know, during this time, I just say, let's have a time of reflections during this time. That this morning we talked about that, you know, God taught us in Proverbs 4 that, you know, wisdom, we acquire wisdom, we hold on to it with all we have. And these instructions are to pass down to generations. And also that, you know, blessing comes through generation from our point on, from this point, like we become a follower of Christ, that we have this power to empower our next generations. And so let's take time to reflect on. This morning I just asked, like, Holy Spirit, come down and reflect, help us to reflect on not too many things, but God, but just one thing. One thing that, you know, reflect on, that maybe a trait that is in our family, you know, parent or grandparent, you know, come down and to review to us, like, you know, that certain weaknesses that actually come down from the generations. So we lay it down to God, you know, if it is coming down from generations, we lay it down to God and ask God to help us to break them. And if God is reviewing anything to you now, that, you know, anything that weakness or struggles that, you know, review through a family pattern, let's stand in the stead, in the gap and in the stead that we ask God to forgive them for the weakness and failure. And we also ask that God to break that generation's curses coming down onto us. And indeed, we ask that God help us to overcome those weaknesses too. In fact, this is the issues that you are facing. So that these curses do not pass on to our generations, to the next generations. Let's make that prayer to God. Also this morning, if you are already, you know, Christians of many like coming down from different generations, also ask God to review one of your inheritance, the good things that you inherited from your family. And let's ask God to help us to pass down this godly heritage to our family. For those that who are first generation Christians, that you are the only or even the only Christian in a family, I just want to encourage you that as soon as we become Christian, a follower of Christ, we are able to tap into the Abraham blessing, that he is the father of all nations, and we come under the blessing of the Abraham. So you are not missing out. And so if you are, you know, first generation Christians, let's claim that promise that God gave us, that we've been adopted into the God family, that we become the Abraham seed according to the promises that God gave us. Let's turn to our community prayer. Let's pray for healing of those people that who are on the list, their family members and friends that suffer from cancer and, you know, looking for transplant. And so just continue pressing to pray for their healing. Let's turn to the next page and pray really content for those that family members who are suffering physically, but most importantly that they have not yet known God. And let's really content for their salvations. Last couple of week, we have the next page is pray for the healings for physical, people who has various illness that are on the list. Let's contend for that too. Also adding to that list, let's pray for Pastor Eugene and Pastor Carol. They're not well, and Pastor Eugene, I got a message last night, like his whole body aching and eyes red and like flu syndrome, and that had been continued for a few days already. And also Pastor Carol is not well, and I heard Elijah was not well before as well. And so really pray for the whole family for speedy recovery and protection from God's. Protection from God, yeah. Turn to the next page. For those who are looking for work, the list is getting shorter, so we pray that all of the names about will have a job soon. Let's go to the next page. The mission focus for today is Indonesia and Singapore. Pastor Salaman is leading our mission teams to Indonesia, and he doing this whole week. So let's pray for him in in organizing, and also the rest of the whole team will have a wonderful encounter with God, and they truly be a blessing to the locals. They're going to run workshop for the youth and for the couples and in a conference to really bless our team to deliver God's message and teaching to this next generation that we've been talking about this whole morning. Let's pray for the education ministry in SP, the Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and the College Group. Pray for Pastor Carol, Pastor Nay, and Pastor Hansu for the leadership in this ministry, as well as all the helpers that is serving in this ministry as well. Because they, as you know, we shared this morning, you know, that teaching the next generation is of utmost importance in God's agenda. So really pray that wisdom be poured down over them. Let's pray for the SP families and their marriages. Pray for love in the relationship, healing of any brokenness that's in conflicts that's in marriage and also in family. Pray for unity, restoration, and protections. Let's pray for the SP weekend activities, the Sunday service. Pastor Ope is always preaching Sunday, both services, so pray for Pastor Ope. And also the IP team is in retreat now, and I'll pray for them to really receive the Word of God and really have a time of fellowship. And also pray for the hospitality team, the barista, the welcoming team, so making our church become a loving church and welcoming church. Pray for lower arts, the teachers, you know, in their preparations for the curriculums for this Sunday's activities. Pray for the youth, the leaders, and also various outreaches that's happening this today, this weekend, and all. Dear God, it's just we are thankful for this morning that you put lead us together and to be able to pray and bless the church, to receive your message about the importance of teaching the next generation, God. I just ask that God continue to pour out your wisdom and understanding, Lord. You know, like what the book has said, you know, that we learn from our forefathers about you, and for those who are first generation Christians, that we know that, you know, the Bible is also your instructions to us, God. And I really leave ourselves to you and ask God that mark your work in our heart, so hard that we will not forget. And Holy Spirit, continue to work your amazing work in us. And I really pray for obedience in our heart. And as we experience life as you have instructed us, we also have the ability and obligation almost to actually to teach our next generations, God. Next generation, not just our children, but also, you know, spiritual children, and also the younger generation that's in our church, God. So put this in our hearts, God, to almost become a mandate to really bless our next generations, because we know that as they obey you, just like you have said in Exodus chapter 20, that your love will pour out over us, and your blessing will be pouring over us in many generations. So we ask that God help us to become obedient to your word, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name.